Now, if you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 14, the Gospel according to John chapter 14. Those of you who are visiting with us as you leave tonight, out on the table is a little booklet entitled The Middle East Crisis in the Light of the Bible. We'd love for you to have one of these. They're free as you leave tonight, and if there's some members who do not have one or would like to have another, they'll be on the table as you leave. John chapter 14 is our scripture reading for our message tonight, and I hope that you'll be in prayer that God's blessings would continue upon the remaining part of the service. We'll read these verses together, beginning at verse 1, after we bow for a word of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy blessings upon us, for the efforts and results and blessings of Vacation Bible School, and for the program tonight, and then for the message that now we enter upon. We pray the Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and minds, every one of us, and bring us to the place of absolute surrender in our lives to Christ, because we ask it in His name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Our current series of messages for Sunday evening is entitled The Christ of the 20th Century. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 is the one text for the entire series, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tonight, the Christ of preparation. Our gospel is a gospel of activity, and our Savior is a Savior of action. In the very beginning of God's Word, in the book of Genesis, we read in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image." Christ busily engaged in creation. From that time till this, and this can be borne out by the words of the Apostle Paul as he delivered his great sermon on Mars Hill in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, "In Him we live and move and have our being." From the first man's creation to this moment, every person, every boy and girl, every young person, every man and woman has been sustained and given life by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside Him is only darkness, eternal darkness. Outside Him is only death, eternal death. Outside Him is only destruction, eternal destruction. The most wonderful thing that Christ has prepared is what I have read to you about from John chapter 14. In a time when His disciples were somewhat perplexed and troubled, Jesus said to them, "Do not be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Not rooms. We sometimes sing, and it's almost worthless in its meaning, "Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land." You may settle for that, but it's unscriptural. Jesus said, "I am going to prepare a mansion for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is the Christ of preparation. What about heaven? You know, I look through a lot of books day by day, and I see very few sermons anymore on heaven or hell. And I'm somewhat disturbed over the fact that not many preachers are preaching about heaven or hell either. Or somebody said, "Well, whatever hell we're going to have it on earth." I've got news for you. The Bible says there's a place of everlasting torment, and every unbeliever and every Christ rejecter and every unsaved person will be in that place to burn forever and ever. And God's word tells me, on the other hand, that there is a place for the redeemed. Jesus spoke about it here in John chapter 14. What about it? What do you know about heaven tonight? I want to ask you three questions about heaven. First, what are some of the things that will not be in heaven? There will be no sin there. Sin had its beginning in the Garden of Eden when Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will make myself higher than the God of the heavens. And Satan came in his subtle, conniving way, beguiled and deceived Adam and Eve, our first parents in the garden. And they disobeyed God, and by that disobedience of Adam, Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, by one man's disobedience, by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and so then death by sin, for all have sinned. Sin is man's archenemy tonight. It has caused every broken heart. It has caused every funeral parlor. It has filled every hospital, every mental institution, and every place that we call places that are for those who are mentally deranged or mentally sick or physically sick, or heartaches and problems and all of the discomforts of life have come from sin. That's the source of it all. But there's going to be no sin in heaven. Somebody said, well, I don't think that I could be responsible because, after all, I'm just one person. But listen to me. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The children quoted it a while ago. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says through his prophet Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad tonight, as we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can sing and mean it with our song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's going to be no sin in heaven. Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, there you cannot come. The prophet Isaiah declares in Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin is your enemy tonight. Sin will be your ruination if you do not bring your sin to Christ, who has borne your sins in his own body on the tree. Sin will separate you from God, and there will be no sin in heaven. Not only that, but there will be no sorrow there. Everybody tastes the bitter cup of sorrow sooner or later in life. But you know, in heaven everything's going to be made new. Listen to these wonderful words from the Revelation chapter 21. John writes, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, listen to this now, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. In this life we know a lot about pain and sorrow and death. But God's word declares that God himself will wipe away all of these tears, and there shall be no more of these former things. There'll be no separation in heaven. We are separated on earth War separates people from their loved ones. Economic reasons, people are separated from one part of the country to the other. But the great separator of all is death. And Paul declares in his great discourse in 1 Corinthians 15 that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. While death separates us, the resurrection and the coming of Christ will forever unite us. You remember when you went yonder to the grave and you said the last and final farewell to someone you loved, with your heart sinking deep within you, and it seemed the whole world was crushing in on you. But you can be comforted tonight by these words. That little child that you placed there beneath the sod, that dear sainted mother or dad or brother or sister, member of your family, listen to these words. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. For with this we declare unto you by the word of the Lord, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Death brings separation, but the second coming of Christ and the resurrection bring us unity forever. In heaven, no sin, no sorrow, no separation. My second question is this: who will be in heaven? The saints of all the ages will be there. The patriarchs and the prophets of the Old Testament will be there. That dear loved one to whom you've already said farewell, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle brow. Oh, tonight we have the blessed hope that our loved ones who have passed out of this life are with the Lord Jesus. For Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our loved ones are going to be in heaven. They're already there if they pass this life. And Lee said a while ago the thing that he enjoyed in his own little baby and childish way about the Bible school was Jesus. And this is worth it all. For Jesus is going to be in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John puts it this way in his first epistle. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Of all of the other things or persons in heaven, the sweetest thing at all is the fact that Jesus is there. Someday the silver cords will break. Nine or more as now shall sing, but all the joy when I shall awake in the palace of the King. And I shall tell the story, and I shall see the Savior face to face, and tell the story, saved by grace. I'm glad that Jesus is in heaven waiting for us tonight. Say, I've got one final question. Will you be in heaven? Oh, you say, but Pastor, I belong to the church. I didn't ask you that. Oh, you say, but Pastor, I've been baptized. Oh, yes, that's good. But let me ask you something. Have you really been born again? Have you really come to that place in your life, that personal confrontation with the Holy Spirit? That personal encounter with God's Holy Spirit? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can you get to heaven? There's not but one way, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way that you can get to heaven is to be saved. And how may you be saved? Listen to me when I tell you this. It's so simple, many people stumble over it. One place in God's Word that same question is asked that you're asking right now. What must I do to be saved? You know what the answer is? It's not join the Baptist church. It's not be baptized. It's not partake of the communion table. It's not turn over a new leaf and do the best you can. Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul puts it this way in Romans 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 13, Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you going to be in heaven? You are not going to be there if your name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen to it. Revelation chapter 19. Here the words are. John writes in the closing of his great book, that's chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Listen, mister, you are going to have to stand before God. And listen to this. And the books were open. Young people, listen. Children, listen. Daddy and mother, listen. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now listen to this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And now verse 15. Hear me when I read it. And whosoever was not found written on the book of the church. Oh no, it doesn't say that, does it? And whosoever had not been baptized. No, it doesn't say that. And whosoever had never turned over the reforming leaf for their life. No, it doesn't say that. It says whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who's going to be? Are you going to be in heaven? Is your name written there? On the page bright and fair. Is your name written there? It can be in the blood of Christ through one simple step. Jesus stands at your heart's door right now. He's knocking. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in. That's how simple it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let us bow for our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee in these moments because we know we have a hope beyond this life. We know that we have an eternal and blessed hope because thy word teaches us that inasmuch as we've anchored our faith in the Savior and we've opened the door of our heart to let Jesus come in, that we're saved and we have a home in heaven. We pray now, Heavenly Father, for those who are here, boys or girls, young people, mothers or dads, anyone and everyone outside the ark of safety. Outside Christ, may they come tonight and anchor their faith in Him. Open the door of their heart and let Jesus come in. For those who are seeking a church home, may they not tarry any longer. May they come tonight. For those, Heavenly Father, who need a prayer of dedication for their lives, may they come about this altar that stretches from here to all eternity and pray. In Jesus' name we ask.